There are four things, actually there are five things that we're going to look at this morning. I'll go ahead and give you my points if you want to go ahead and write those down, and it'll be obvious to you when we get there. The first point we're going to look at this morning is the curse of man. We're going to look at the blessed man, be the second point. The third point we're going to look at is the heart of man. The fourth one is the hope for man. And the last one we'll look at, the instructions for man. That's all in this chapter of Jeremiah, and we'll see what God has for us today. Remember, we left off 2 weeks ago where Jeremiah was told by God that he was not to do something. Anybody can remember? Help me out here, folks. What is Jeremiah not to do? Marry. He is forbidden to go in marriage, and we talked about those things, the things that he would miss out on. Being a husband and being a father as well, because he wouldn't have any children as well. That was a part of that deal. And we've seen the result of those things, because what was going to take place? There's going to come death upon those people, and they would be spread around in that city like dung, be like basically like manure. They'll be all over the place. And that's something that God was sparing his, if he had a wife at that time and kids, that's what God was sparing him from. And so we have seen those things take place. Again, it's part of what has taken place in our life is running away from God. That's what they're doing. They're running away from God at this point in time in their life. And God is still a gracious and merciful God, but it's no different than us as parents getting after our kids. There has to come a time when there's accountability. They were not responsible. They didn't want to be responsible for their sins. They didn't want to be responsible for serving God, and so they begin to search other gods, and they begin to follow Baal and do many other ritual things. And what a sad place for these people that God chose them to be in. And I tell you what, there's going to be a rude awakening coming to these folks here, and we'll see these things take place. I'm excited actually for next week's lesson already, because we're going to look at the potter's house here, and I'm looking forward to that. But before we go any further into reading, let's just pray, and let's ask God to gather our thoughts this morning so that we can see what he has for us from his word. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We are thankful, Lord, for your word. What a thrill and what a joy it is to be able to open up your word and allow you, through your word, to speak to us. Lord, we are so thankful for that. Lord, in exchange, you have taught us in your word that we can come to you and talk to you through prayer. And Lord, I'm thankful for these two avenues that you have given us access to you. Lord, help us to take great advantage of this in our life. Lord, I pray this morning that you would use me to get your word across to your people. Lord, I pray this morning that your wisdom and your knowledge would be once again bestowed upon me this morning. Through the teaching of your word. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the opportunity that you have given me this morning to give your word out. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Let's go ahead and begin reading in verse number 1 this morning. As the points that I gave you, I want you to kind of look for these things as we're going through this morning. Again, it's a continuation of last 2 weeks ago from the lesson. Now it goes on in verse number 1. It says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with a point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou even thyself shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in a land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As a partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day that knowest, that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them from the day of evil and destroy them with double destruction. Well, that's kind of a tongue tangler for me. Everything's a tongue tangler for me. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. You guys notice that we just arrived to our last point, where we're dealing with the instructions of man, just in case you didn't see that. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they may not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken to me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on a Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein. Then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places about Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise in the house of the Lord. But if you will not hearken to me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to hear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. And that concludes our reading this morning through God's Word. I was thinking last night as I was going over my lesson in my mind, just thinking of the journey that we have taken thus far with these people and with Jeremiah, because we have rehearsed this already this morning. The place that they were in was a good place. They were in God's company, and now they have removed themselves from the company of God, and they're out on their own. It was a couple months ago, I actually was able to solve a problem that I had in my life, and I would thank God for that. I had some trouble sleeping at night, and I did not know why I was having this trouble. I would wake up and my neck would be in tremendous pain, my shoulders would be in tremendous pain. And I realized that I did not have the comfort that I needed to have that night for the good rest that I needed to have. And so I began going through this process, why am I hurting, why am I in pain every single morning I wake up? I mean, my neck hurts so bad that I would actually adjust my own neck throughout the day. Anybody like that? That can adjust their own neck, and you hear all that popping and cracking that goes on in that neck. And I often wondered, man, if I do it hard enough, I just might snap my neck and kill me. So I decided, you know, that's really not the way to go. I wanted to be in comfort. I didn't want to be in discomfort anymore. I wanted to be in, if I can say this word properly, I wanted to be in fellowship with my pillow. And I noticed that my pillow wasn't the way that it needed to be for me. My body has changed. Obviously, throughout my age, it's changed. Everybody's body's changed. My comfort level has changed. And so I began to do some research on a pillow that I would need for my sleep. I began to ask people, hey, have you heard of this pillow? Yeah, I've heard of this. I got it, and it's not the greatest thing. And I go around and I ask more people, have you heard of this? And they tell me these things. And I'm not going to tell you any of the pillows because I don't want to plug them. But as I began to do some research on those, I found a pillow that actually works for me. And I tell you what, it's been great because every single night I am now, Gary, in fellowship with my pillow. And I wake up feeling comforted and I'm not in pain anymore. You know, that sounds like a silly illustration, but I needed that in my life. These folks here were in the comfort of God's hands. They had everything that they needed. God supplied them. God blessed them in their life. And so what they decided to do, they decided to have an uncomfortable life, and they walked away from God. They decided, hey, I don't want to have fellowship with God anymore, and I want to go out and search for other fellowship with other gods. That's a silly illustration, but that's where they're at. I tell you what, I'm glad this morning that God gave me the brain to figure out some things in my life. And these folks were not using their brains right at this point in time in their life. I was supposed to go to Sioux City yesterday to do some things for my mother-in-law. And they had the worst storm than we had. They had 50, 60 mile an hour winds and snowdrifts that was just crazy. Thank God for Sioux City on days like that. And my mother-in-law, she called me and she said, Chad, I just don't think it's a great idea for you to come up here. And I said, you know what, Sandy, I think you're right. God gave us a brain to use it. So I'm going to exercise that right he gave me. And I'm going to use my brain and say, I agree with you. And I'm going to be in fellowship with you, and I'm going to sit at the comforts of my home and not go down that path. I tell you what, God gave these folks a brain, and they're not using it. Here's one of the things that was interesting to me as I'm going through this. So there's some things that I can really point out here this morning, but I want to look at the curse of man this morning. Verse number 5, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man. Now, he doesn't stop there. He says, cursed be the man. I asked for some volunteers this morning, and I'm not going to embarrass them, but I asked for Jordan and Austin to come down this morning just for illustrations. And they're going to get up out of their seats very willingly, and they're going to come down here this morning. I'm not going to ask Jordan to bang on the wall this morning because the last time I did that, some of you folks reached for your guns, and I love Jordan and Austin. I don't want to see them go out of this world that quickly. But if you guys can just stand over here, that'd be great. So as we read this verse, it says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man. What does the rest of this verse say after that? Anybody tell me real quick? What's the rest of that say? Just read the next three words. That trusteth in man. Exactly. So their problem at this point in time in their life is, they put their trust in God on hold. That's what they have done. They put it on hold. And they have walked away from a great comfort in God. They've walked away from that fellowship that I talked about earlier. And they begin to go down a path that's not a desirous path. Because what are they doing? They're putting their trust in man. And so I'm going to play man at this point in time in this illustration. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to these two men on an individual basis, because we got to see how this takes place, because it starts with one individual. So I'm just going to, just for fun's sake here, I'm going to say, hey, Jordan, man, it's great to have you in our tribe. I'm glad you're part of the tribe of Judah right now. And I tell you what, we're going to go down this venture, and we're going to have a load of fun in our life. Matter of fact, we're just going to do some things that aren't very pleasing to the Lord. We're not going to live that life no more. We're not going to live by these rules and by these laws that have been established for us to live by. And we're going to go out, and we're going to create our own ways. And so as I begin to persuade Jordan through this process, Jordan's going to say, you know what, Chad, man, you've really sold me on this. And man, that sounds like a great time. We're going to go out and we're going to go and do some hair-raising things. And doesn't that sound like fun? And so Jordan, he's just all excited. He goes, man, we're just going to, let's reject God, because serving God isn't fun at this point in time. And so Jordan's going to come to my side. So what is Jordan doing at this point in time? You're going to come over here. Jordan is taking away his trust, everything that he has learned at this point in time, in God, on hold. And as I persuaded him, he's putting his trust in who? He's putting his trust in me, in man. And so Jordan and I were going down this path, and we're saying, hey, man, Jordan, hey, Chad, we're just having a great time. And wouldn't it be great if we can just get some more folks to come in here and just begin to go around this town and begin to do spread the havoc that we need to spread and have a good old time. And whatever the fun that we're doing, I don't know, maybe you're involved in paintball or something. That sounds like fun. And we go around town and begin to, wouldn't it be fun if they had paintballs back in those days? That would be hilarious. But anyway, we're doing these things, and so we begin to plan and we begin to plot with each other, and we're thinking ourselves as we're in our little lodges at night, you know, our secret lodges, you know, we're saying, man, who can we get? Who would be a great asset to us to pull over to our side? And all of a sudden, great minds think alike. We're both good-looking men, and great minds think, you're supposed to say amen or at least laugh at that one, and automatically, Austin comes to our mind, and we're thinking, man, yeah, Austin, he's a bad dude. He's been in the military. He knows what to do. He knows how to get people going, and he knows how to cause havoc. Let's try to talk to Austin. So now Jordan and I, we're going to come over here, and we've just been living this great life. Matter of fact, let's think about this. We're not with God at this point, are we? Where's our trust? Our trust at this point in time is between each other. It's not in God because we're not having fellowship with God. We're not meeting God, and we're not desiring to do his laws and live by his ways. We've rejected those. We've got to keep this in mind. And so now we approach Austin, and Austin's just, he's one of the biggest, baddest dudes in the land of Judah at this point in time. And we know if we can convince him that there's going to be more of a following with him. So we go over there, and we have our little meeting, and we just gather around, you know, kind of like those movies. And when they all attend, they all walk in these places. The guys aren't really talking. They're just like, we think they're having conversations with each other. That's all they're doing. And so through that conversation, go ahead and come back over here, we have persuaded Austin to come join us in our side. So now Austin is going to walk away, because we can say that Austin was following the laws at this time, even though he's a bad dude. We can sit there and say maybe he had a relationship with God. But through our conversation with him, we're able to persuade him and move him over to our side. So as we've done this, let's just say Austin's walking away from God at this time. And now he's done that. And now what have we done? We have got another follower in our group that is doing what? Putting their trust in man. Does this all make sense? So for man to put their trust in him, the Lord says, there has come a curse upon him. Cursed be the man that trusteth, that put his trust in man. That's what the Bible says. And so even though that I have done my persuasion on these two gentlemen when they were probably having a relationship with God this time, I don't know where they're at. We'll just say for argument's sake, they had a relationship with God, and I persuaded them. And I begin to indulge in their lives, and they begin to do the things that I want them to do. And throughout all this, here becomes the sad part. I persuaded Jordan. Jordan and I persuaded Austin. Austin, Jordan, and I persuaded Gary. And what happens? It goes down. It becomes a trickling effect. This is why I say it's very important for us to live the lives according to what God has called us to do and how to live. Because if we don't do those things, what's going to happen? We're going to have an effect on our society where we're going to continue to drag men, women, and children into a lifestyle that they should not be in. We can take them away from God. And so our call to live for God is very important. And so we see the trickle-down effect. Thank you guys for being so gracious this morning. And they're good guys. They were in my youth group years ago, so I know all their problems, and they know my problems as well. Jordan was a little bit nervous about having me do this morning. But see, that is a great illustration for this, because we have put ourselves in a trust of man. We're walking away from God, and this has been the story thus far with the children of Judah and Israel as well, to where they're walking away from God. They're searching after other gods. They're not putting their trust in God. And with that, you're putting yourself in a vulnerable situation in life. Now, as I use these two gentlemen as an illustration, I have removed them from what? I've removed them from God, have I not? I was successful on my business plan with them to maneuver, to remove them from having a relationship with God. And what I have done, I have removed them from the protection of God. I removed them from the protection of God, and I put them in a place that wasn't protected anymore. And now they are very vulnerable. And so the attacks, when you're not in God's protection, the attacks from Satan are going to be very more real in your life. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So I was successful in persuading these gentlemen to, hey, walk away from God, come over to my side. And then what happens at the end of the verse? Not only did they put their trust in me, but their hearts departed from the Lord. And I put them in a situation that they should not want to be in. What should have happened with these two gentlemen? What should have happened? Amen. Two words, spiritual discernment. They should have had spiritual discernment at this point in time. Say, hey, man, I know what it's like to have a relationship with God. I have seen the benefits of walking with God. I know the pleasures that are meant with walking with God. I love the relationship that I had with God. But what thing did they lack? Spiritual discernment. Where does spiritual discernment come from? Spiritual discernment comes from your relationship with the Lord, reading God's word, amen? Knowing how to ward off those attacks that will come upon us. And so now they're out of God's protection, and now they're in the wilderness, they're in a desert that's here, and now they're no longer protected. And that's not a great place to be in. Just imagine this for a second. We as parents, grandparents, we have done everything in our power, have we not, to protect our kids. And how that would hurt us when someone would come along and remove them from our protection and put them in a place where harm's going to come their way. Now the curse is there with these folks. Verse number 6, it goes on and says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and the salt land, and not inhabited. So I've taken him out of their comfort zone. I have taken him out of their blessed life, if I can say that, because I just did. I have taken them out of their fellowship with God. I put them in a place of vulnerability. And now, because of this, they lost out on something. God's protection and God's blessings. Amen? That's what took place. So now we're going to, as we read this, we've seen the curse of man. Now we can see and understand and realize the importance, what it is, not to put our trust in man, but to put our trust in who? In God. One of the problems that I've noticed in our society is people follow man. And what I've realized is man falls. We put man on such a high pedestal, and we put him up there, and what do we know? Sooner or later, they fall down. I've told you folks this before. I don't want to be on anybody's pedestal. I'd rather have you have God up there, amen? I'd rather God be the focal point in your life. I'd rather God be at the center of your life and not man, because that's where we go wrong. And this is where these folks have gone wrong. Now we're going to look at the opposite side of staying with the Lord. Verse number 7, it says, blessed is the man, finish those words. Say it with me, that trusteth in the Lord. So we realize where we put ourselves when we walk away from God. What's that mean? Cursed is the man. Now, there are benefits to staying with the Lord. Now, Jordan and Austin, they have probably realized after a short period of time, after they have gone through some battles, they have suffered some hard times in their life as they put their trust in me and follow me. Now they got what? Scars. They have experienced some things that they shouldn't have experienced. They have seen things that they shouldn't have seen. They have heard things that they shouldn't have heard. They have said things that they shouldn't have said. And now because of this, they have scars in their life. Now that's where spiritual discernment comes in, as I talked about earlier. Spiritual discernment should tell you, hey, man's way is wrong, God's way is right. Amen? That's where good spiritual discernment comes in. And so now it says in verse number 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and it spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Do you see the benefits of walking with God? Do you see how God just described us in this verse? Blessed is a man that does what? Trust in the Lord. That trust in his Son. And it goes on and it begins to name many things. You're going to flourish. You're going to have, your life's going to be better than what it should be as your fallen man. And you're not going to be harmed by these things. And you're going to be protected. And I'm going to take care of you. And that's the position and that's the place where you and I should desire to be in our lives. But again, these folks here, they've walked away from God. They trust a man and they rejected him. And they're not going to receive the blessings that is described here in verse number 7 and verse number 8. Why? Because they forsook God. Their heart departed from him. You know, it's no different today in our churches. There might be folks sitting here within the four walls here that might have already made a decision in their life and say, you know, I'm just going to come to church, but I've already forsaken God. I've already decided in my life that I'm going to put my trust in man and I'm not going to put my trust in God. And I'm going to say to you, please don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Don't have that unintelligent thinking. That's a nice way of saying don't be stupid. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord. I am so glad this morning that as I experience in the next week and a half, my salvation birthday is April 25th of 1986, that God searched me, that God never gave up on me, and I put my trust in the Lord. Have I had some hard times in my life? Without a doubt. But even that being said, God has blessed me. God has taken care of me. God has made me fruitful in my life. And I could not be that way if it wasn't for God. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And now we see the curse of man. We see the blessed man. And now we're going to see the heart of man. And that's going to come in verses number 9 through verse number 10. It says, the heart is deceitful of all things, and desperately wicked. Read these four words with me. Who can know it? So now we see why these people are in this position that they're in. Now we're understanding why the cursed is the man. Because now we realize what? The heart is what? Wicked. Wicked. The heart is desperately wicked. And who can know it? And, you know, I can sit up here and put on all and say all the nice words and say all the right things and look the part, but you guys have no idea what my heart truly is about. Only God does. You know, I can sit here and say, I have a great relationship with Gary, and I can sit there and say, man, Gary, you're a good friend of me, and I love it when we do these things, and behind the back, man, I just want to take Gary out. What a jerk. I can't believe he talked to me that way. I can't believe he looked at me. Man, I just want to give him a clothesline. You guys know what a clothesline is. It's not something you hang on a hanger on a clothesline outside. It's an elbow going right in your neck. That's a clothesline. I just use a wrestling term. But anyway, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? I know one person that knows my heart, and I don't even know the wickedness that is in my heart. Think about this. We deal with this on a daily basis. Do we not drive in traffic every day? We drive in traffic every day, don't we? And if you're retired and you want to sit at home and not drive in traffic, that's okay. Q and Tom, that's fine. If you want to miss out on those fun opportunities, that's your okay. Tom's newly retired now, and he's going to miss out on those opportunities. But just imagine you're driving in traffic, and all of a sudden you might be listening to some godly music on the radio. You might be listening to some godly message on the radio, and all of a sudden here comes somebody out on your rearview mirror, and they sideswipe you and cut you off. And what do you do? Oh, that jerk, I'm going to get him. What's that tell you? Your heart's wicked, isn't it? Your heart's wicked. Our response should have been in the South, God bless you. That's what our response should have been. But what happens? Our heart's wicked. Things are going to come out that shouldn't come out because our heart's wicked. And boy, how important it is for us to have that right heart, to have that heart in fellowship and in the comfort of God's hand. And it says in verse number 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. God knows our heart better than we know our heart. Matter of fact, we don't even know it. We have no idea how wicked it can be. And it's desperately wicked. I can remember as a young person living in our house growing up, we lived on 20th and D for the first 10 years of my life. And we had a big dining area, and our dining area was connected to our living room area. And Wayne and I, we were the close ones in age at that point in time. Matt was a couple years younger than me. Wayne and I were exactly 2 years and 3 weeks apart. And so we did a lot of things together. And so when you do things together, what happens? Your emotions get stirred up when somebody does you wrong. And I remember, I don't remember the how this all came about. I just remember Wayne and I, we got mad at each other. And that's what happens. We're brothers. And we get mad at each other. And I don't know if my mom and dad remember this. I pray to God they don't, but I'm bringing it back to their memory if they don't. But I saw a big steak knife. And when I was that age, a big steak knife was probably like this. And to me, it seemed like this. And Wayne irked me. And I don't know what he did. I don't know if he stole my candy or turned off the Scooby-Doo channel. I have no idea. I don't remember those scenarios. I just remember what took place after that. I grabbed this big steak knife, and I held it up, and I chased him around the table. Why did I do that? Even as a young child, Tom, my heart's wicked. My heart's wicked. I don't even know my own heart. I love my brother, but even though I love my brother, because of a wicked heart, I want to do him harm. It's not right, is it? See, that's where these folks are out. They had a deceitful and wicked heart. It's desperately wicked. The Lord knows our heart. Now we're going to see in verse number 13, we're going to see, I'm going to run through this rather quickly. We see the curse of man, we see the blessed man, we see the heart of man. In verse number 13, it says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they shall depart from me. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. There is hope for man. But where is hope for man? Again, we can't put our hope in each other, can we? Because we let each other down. We disappoint each other. Every single day of our lives, we disappoint each other. I might say the wrong thing, and you might become offended, and I'll bring disappointment to you. I might do something not live up to your standards, and that might disappoint you, and you're like, man, I've lost all hope in man. Exactly. We should not have any hope in man, but our hope should come in who? Our hope should come in the Lord. And one of the things, as I read these verses, there's something that sticks out to me that needed to take place at this point in time in your life. Verse number 14, it says, heal me, O Lord. Heal me, O Lord. Because I have the hope in the Lord, my Lord can heal me. And I'm not just talking from sickness. I'm talking from many other things in our lives that plague us, that bring us down. But our Lord can bring healing. Not only does he bring healing in our life, but the Lord, because we have hope in him, can bring us to salvation. It can save us from despair. And I'm thankful for those things. We put hope in man way too often. 8 years ago, there was a man that ran a campaign, and his campaign slogan, Hope and Change. And so with that being said, he was telling people, hey, put your hope in me, and I will change everything. Well, that's exactly what happened. Man put their hope in him, and he changed America. And I tell you what, there's a lot of rebuilding in America that needs to be redone for that. Whether you agree with me or not, that's your opinion, and I'm okay with that. I will not part ways with you. Amen? But we put hope in man. Man lets us down. My wife and I, we've been married for 23 years, and I'm going to put her on the spot this morning. Even though we have a great relationship, have I not let you down? Sometimes. It's a great answer. We let each other down. But I know for a fact, when we put our hope and our trust in the Lord doesn't let us down, does he? We let him down. And that's what's going on at these folks' lives right now. They have let the Lord down. And so now they have We see the curse of man, we see the blessed man, we see the heart of man, and now we see the hope for man, and the hope for man is the Lord. And now we're going to see, as we move along here, very quickly, verses number 19 through number 27, it says, verse number 21, let's read this, says, "Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers." Apparently, at this point in time in the life of these folks, the Sabbath had become a burden to them. The Lord did not create the Sabbath for it to be a burden to them. Matter of fact, you can turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 3. We are to let me read there. Let me go ahead and go there so that I can read this really quickly in our verses here. 1 John chapter 5. Go ahead and turn with me because I want you to see this with your own eyes. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So apparently, the commandments that they were designed to live by, they had 613 laws, had become grievous to them. It was a burdensome to them, and God did not create that. Matter of fact, they're to delight in the law of the Lord. But God has given them specific instructions on how to live their life on the Sabbath day. And they were not living up to the standards that were set for them. On the Sabbath day, you're supposed to set it aside. You're not to do any cooking. You're not to do any traveling. You're not to even go on a day's journey. And for many years of my life, my wife's father practiced Judaism toward the end of his life. And the Sabbath day was something very special to him. And, you know, we can have our battles and things, but he was trying and searching and seeking to have a better relationship with God. It meant something to him. And he took time out on every Friday evening as the sun would go down from about 6 o'clock down. He would not do anything until the following evening on Saturday, until the sun began to set down. He wouldn't do anything. He would go and he would read his scriptures. He would have time with God. He would set time away from everything, close out all the noise that the world offered at this time, and he would have a relationship with God. He would study God's Word, and he would delight himself in God's Word. And I'm thankful that I had an opportunity to learn that from him, because it was something sacred to him. But it wasn't sacred to these folks at this point in time. Matter of fact, they couldn't even follow the instructions very well. Why was that? Because I believe it goes back to verse number 5 at the end. Their heart departed from the Lord. They didn't care. And it goes on in verse number 9 and 10. Their heart's wicked, deceitful. Who can know it? God has given us simple instructions in our lives to follow. All we have to do is, Q, I know it sounds so easy, but all we have to do is follow. All we have to do is obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Oh, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. See, these folks weren't happy in Jesus. They weren't happy in God because they were doing something that is being practiced today in our society. They're not putting their hope in the Lord. They're not trusting in the Lord. And they're not following his instructions. See, God has given us a blueprint how to live our lives. All we have to do is pick up this blueprint. It's called the Bible. And there are so many different instructions that God has given us. I told this again to a person the other day. It's not about what we can't do, but it's about what we can do in the Lord. We have so many freedoms in the Lord, and we don't even exercise them properly. These folks had so many freedoms, they walked away from it, and Tom, they put themselves in bondage. They did. They put themselves in bondage because they refused to listen to the instructions that God gave them. As I close, let me ask you a question. As I've read this and as we have examined this, how does this fit in your life today? How does this fit in your life today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your abundance, grace, and mercy that you bestow upon us. Even, Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, I thank you for your unending love that you have for us. Lord, help us to exercise our rights in you. Lord, help us to follow the simple instructions that you have given us in your word. Lord, they shouldn't be a burden to us, but Lord, they should be a delight to us. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would continue to work in your people this morning, and we ask it in your name. Amen.